Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How do you say this name? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I got John. I know how to say that, but there's a Fortas Institute fellow. John, how do you say that last name?
Kratz.
Exactly. Apparently.
That's how I say it.
I know you do. Congratulations to Dr. John Kratz. His podcast, Integrated, top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, and that is out of 4 million podcasts. Why is it performing so well? Because it's scratching an itch, and I don't think it's a 21st century rash. I think that this is an issue that every Christian in every century has had to sort through and figure out. Now, I think in the 21st century, because we are so, I think, trained to be feelings driven, and we are so influenced to focus on ourselves a lot. And I think social media has trained us to think that everything in the world should just be a 10 all the time for me. I think we all feel those pressures. Nevertheless, I don't think that the issue that so many of us are wrestling with is a new issue. How do you connect your Christian faith with your life? How do you do that? And that is precisely why I think John Kratz's Integrated podcast is doing so well, because it helps to show that, to connect the dots and go, okay, I see that now. And that is why I commend it to you, and I would encourage you to get Integrated and start listening. And not only will you hear how to integrate your faith with your life, you're going to hear a gentleman, and that is rare these days. John Kratz is not a capitulator. He's not a compromiser who is like, okay, well, you didn't like that, so I'll stop thinking that. I won't say that ever again. I won't believe in those doctrines. No, he's not that way at all. But he's always kindly, and he will be strong when needed, meaning his position and his stance will be strong. But his disposition is just one, just listen for it. You won't miss it. You tune it. You will immediately hear something different about this guy. And I think that that alone is worth the price of admission, which, by the way, is nothing. So start listening to the Integrated podcast. You can find it at fortisplus.org, wherever you do your podcast business, to help you integrate your faith into your life, which is precisely what one John Mark Comer is attempting to do. He has diagnosed the same malady that I think John has observed. I know that I have, because that's what my next book is about, precisely this subject. How do you do this? When Jesus, this is, I think, last Sunday's sermon. This is before the schmutz befell me. Sunday's sermon, Jesus said, here's the greatest commandment. So here it is, the greatest commandment. If you want to know what your purpose in life is, here it comes. Jesus himself is going to tell you why you're here and what you're supposed to be pursuing. Ready? Love God. There it is. That's the chief commandment. That's the biggie. Love God. How? With all of your heart, soul, mind, and Mark adds strength from the Matthew rendering. In other words, with the totality of your being, love God. Now, the question is, how do you do that? How do you do that? How can you function on the planet when you are fully consumed with loving God? And that is where I think I'm virtually all of these movements which attempt to address this malady, where they've gone wrong. They become this. Here's, I think what we see happened. And historically, I think we've seen this at least 6 or 8 times with major movements that try to make this connection. They do an overcorrection. They perhaps observe that Christians aren't loving God, experiencing God as much as they should. So, okay, they see that and they go, so how are we going to fix this? And they can overcorrect and put you into a different ditch, but it's still a ditch that will make you feel heavy laden. So if I, for instance, read the commandment by Jesus that said, God wants you to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind. That's what he wants for you. He wants that's the best thing for you. And he wants that. And then I said, here's how you do that. That means your thoughts need to be consumed by God. That means everything you do needs to revolve around God. And very quickly, the application of that would start to look very mystical. It would start to look very desert fathery. It would start to look very monastic. It would start to look very burdensome. And you are going to start to feel. He was in his car, Conversations That Matter. And he was talking about how he fell into a ditch because he was pursuing Christian hedonism. And he found himself questioning everything. I was going to go fishing, but I guess maybe I'm supposed to not enjoy that activity and just sit at home and think about God. Because that's what it means to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, right? Now, I don't think that it's just John Harris who has fallen into that ditch. I think it's very easy to do, to take the command of love and make it burdensome and to turn it into a system. I think as soon as you systematize Christianity, I'm a fan of systematic theology, but systematic Christianity, I think there's a myriad of reasons that it's problematic to give people a checklist and a to-do list of how to be a Christian who loves the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind. Do this, read your Bible this much, pray this much time, make sure that you're thinking about always, and it can start to feel like, whoa, I just had a moment where I wasn't thinking about God and I think that I'm not loving him the way that I should. And it can quickly feel like, ugh. And it furthermore, I just don't think that's the way the Bible presents Christianity. It's not monolithic. The faith is, theology is, but we isn't. And how we go about living out our faith, I think God delights in the diversity. I think we're built differently, different giftings, different personalities, different zip codes, different blessings, all of that. And God says, go and live your life loving me. Live your life loving me. That might be a pretty good summation of this whole shebang. Live your life loving me or love me while living your life. The problem that I see is so often in these movements that try to help people connect the dots is they turn it into this burdensome yoke, which, by the way, is kind of a Pharisaical trait. It's a burdensome yoke that means that you just have to, that you got to watchman knee. You've got to always be practicing the presence of God. Now, please note, I'm not suggesting for a second this means we put God on the shelf. That's the actual problem that we're trying to address here. But I do believe that so many of these movements, including John Mark Comer's concept of how to do the way, is not what God is after. It's, first of all, I don't think it's biblical. Second of all, he's got theological problems. But I think that the problem is that it doesn't account for life. I think maybe I've used this illustration before. I use this Sunday. I'm a husband, and right now I'm not with my wife. And up until this moment, while I've been talking now for give or take 9 minutes, I wasn't thinking about my wife. Question: does that mean I'm not married? Question number two: does that mean I'm not loving my wife? Does that mean our relationship is kafritz? And I hope the answer would be, well, no, you're doing your job. You got to do stuff. Exactly. Now, if I don't think about my wife for the next 9 hours, 9 days, 9 weeks, problem. That's an indicator. There's something wrong there, but it is not normative. I can't be doing that and functioning just from a practical level. I would be Walter Mitty. My heads would be in the clouds and I would just be tripping into everything. Oh, sorry. Was thinking about the Bible because I'm always mindful. I just don't think that comports with reality. I don't think it's biblical. And I don't think that it brings the joy that these people who are trying to help people actually achieve. That's why John Krotz just bangs it. He gets that. We don't need to become monks and mystics. Having said that, the best thought we can have is about the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we want to think about our spouse as often as is normal, practical, reasonable, human? Question for you. How's your balance? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Practicing what way? Exactly. This is Wretched Radio. It's the latest evangelical trend. It's John Mark Comer's Practicing the Way. Thousands of churches, they're using his curriculum, reading his books to help them connect the dots. And wow, is he onto that? That is a bang-on diagnosis of a very consistent malady for most Christians. I want to integrate it. I want my life to be about Jesus. Amen. How do you do that? How do you do that? And I would suggest to you, it's more simple than all of these movements have created and have laid on top of people, because wow, they very quickly become a yoke and a burden. Here's how I think it works. You love Jesus. You live your life knowing that you know and have been saved by the best entity in the universe. And you get to know him. You get to know him by reading his Bible, by listening to sermons, by hanging out with other Christians, by watching baptisms, by partaking of the Lord's table, by praying to God himself. Wow, I get to do all of those things. You sure do. So how often should you do them? And here's the answer: as much as you want, as much as you want. How much time must a man spend with his spouse in order for him to be a good husband? You got that figured out? What is it? And is it possible that it might even vary from couple to couple? And the same thing is true with our relationship with God. Now, please do not hear me giving license to laziness. I'm not suggesting for a moment, I don't need to. God's good with me. Off I go, mindlessly tripping through my day, never thinking about God, just going about my, never applying the Bible to my decisions. I'm just living because God's cool with that. Didn't say, why wouldn't you want to consult? Why wouldn't you want his advice? Why wouldn't you want his word applied to your situation? Why wouldn't you want to pray to God throughout the day? How many times a day do you need to call your spouse in order to be a good husband or wife? How many is that? How many minutes do you need to spend? How many texts do you need to send? And you go, I don't need to even think about that. But you know if your relationship is good or not. And I would suggest to you that that paradigm is pretty reasonable with our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we want to neglect him? That would be to be a bad spouse, wouldn't it? But the Bible just doesn't lay down these rules. Pray this many minutes, read your Bible that many minutes, think this many thoughts about. It just doesn't. Instead, it offers up Jesus as the treasure and asks the question, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to pursue that? Why wouldn't you want to incorporate that? Why aren't you thinking about him? Why are you being a neglectful spouse? I think it's far more simple. And the latest movement of practicing the way, I think, just makes it far more complicated. Now, not everything about these materials are wrong. He's addressed a right problem. He's also correct in thinking, hey, how you think about God is going to shape you. That is correct. Now, he does, by the way, quote A.W. Tozer, who said, the most important thing that you can think is what you think about God. I don't know if you remember, but I believe it was Spurgeon, I think, maybe it was Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I think heard about it and responded and said, disagree. The most important thing you can think is what God thinks about you. You can have that debate at dinner if you would like to. The point is, not everything inside of practicing the way is wrong, but I think, first of all, it is just another system. And it's just another burden, and it's just going to be another yoke, and it's going to leave Christians either pretty demoralized and devastated, or they're just going to, once they're done with this system, they're going to run to the next system. All of these systems that we've seen throughout the years, whether it's crazy love, whether it's radical Christianity, whether it's Watchman Nee, whatever the mystics have concocted these days, whatever Dallas Willard and Henry Blackaby have suggested, why aren't they still like ruling? Why isn't the prayer of Jabez still on the lips of pretty much every evangelical in the country? What happened? Well, they stopped performing those systems. because that's not the way God intends us to live our lives. We have Christian liberty. Now, you can certainly abuse your liberty. That's a problem that needs to be corrected if you are. But that doesn't mean that the alternative to Christian liberty is a Christian yoke. Furthermore, there's some theological problems, courtesy of one Wyatt Graham. In reviewing Practicing the Way, he says it diagnoses the problem well, but the medicine that John Mark Comer offers cannot heal our wounds. He knows how empty faith feels to millennial Christians in particular. They know they're forgiven, but then what? For Comer, then what means having our hearts transformed by apprenticeship to Jesus rather than a focus on the transaction of forgiveness. And some of that I would probably affirm and say, yes, that's right. You want to be under the apprenticeship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just want to be careful about rule making and defining for everybody what that looks like. Because as soon as an individual becomes the model and that individual isn't Jesus, you're in danger. Oddly, however, writes this reviewer, for all of Comer's use of the name of Jesus and the allusion to him in the Bible, there's virtually no discussion of the stories of Jesus from the Bible. He draws deeply on Dallas Willard and the spiritual formation tradition. He's quick to quote Desert Fathers. I think that he claims that a Jesuit priest is his mentor. That all indicates danger, Will Robinson. This is a separate review. He misses the mark in important ways. This is still Wyatt Graham, by the way. Comer's ambiguous relationship to Protestant confessionalism leads him to an incomplete picture of God. Ooh. He's a preacher, by the way. John Mark Comer is a preacher. I guess he's teacher in residence, whatever that means, at Vintage Church in Los Angeles. And he claims some sort of a connection to the worldwide Anglican Communion. But his website doesn't mention anything really about Anglicanism. Yeah, here it is. A Jesuit priest functions as his spiritual life director. So it's no surprise he regularly cites a potpourri of Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and Protestant or evangelical sources to explain God. Comer writes that God is one who can be moved, influence, who can change his mind at a moment's notice. Uh-oh, that's a big problem. The changing of his mind is an anthropomorphism. God knows the end from the beginning, from everlasting to everlasting. He knows every single detail because he's ordaining every single thing, and he is not influenced by externals. If God alters the course that he has prescribed, it is simply because he's being faithful to his character by I don't want to use the word responding because that would indicate that he changes his mind by knowing that we would do something. Therefore, this is what he does with that situation. But it's all predetermined. He's not responding. He's not learning. And that's the problem. And John Mark Comer indicates if he's not aware of open theism, then he shouldn't be leaning so heavily on Greg Boyd. But he does, and Greg Boyd is perhaps, with Clark Pinnock, the chief proponent of open theism. Comer writes that God is one who can be moved, influenced, and can change his mind at a moment's notice. He would be less of a God if he couldn't change his intentions when he wants to, or be open to new ideas from intelligent, creative beings he's in relationship with. Now, this is in contradistinction to the God who ordains all things. And this God is really not very divine. But this is how John Mark Comer wants you to feel connected to God. See, he responds to you. He his emotions, they sway. Now, the doctrine of impassibility needs to be understood rightly here. While I believe that God does indeed have genuine, we'll use the word emotions or feelings, they are not like human feelings in that they're always precise. They're always right. They're never responding. They're always predetermined. They're always exactly what they should be in that circumstance. So the doctrine of impassibility, you better hold the line on changing God's character and nature. But that's, I think, exactly what John Mark Comer does. If God is malleable and he's responding to us and he's so engaged with us, because he's aching, quote, aching for a relationship with you, then look out. You don't have yourself a very divine God. Instead, the God of the Bible knows all things, and his character and his nature is good. He's kind and he's gracious and he's merciful and he loves the world and he especially loves those who are in Christ. And that is the God that I think is loftier and higher and that shines brighter than 1,000 suns that should cause us to go, I want that. Not a lowly God who's like in the trenches with us. Oh man, that's a big bummer that you got a head cold and the Flonase isn't working like it purports to work. No. You know why I got a cold? Because God wanted me to have a cold. And I can live with that. Thinking that God is shocked that I've got a cold. Oh, I wonder if God is able to cure me. I wonder if he's able to come up with it. That's a paltry God. And that's the problem with practicing the way. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.